Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. It is the 18th day of May, 2016. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you want to jump into the chat room with the wild, madcap, merry, zany cast of characters who hang out there on any given evening while the program is live. Just now, Anatole and Jug of Punch have wandered in, capably moderated, both of them. They've got their own private moderators right now, they do. With Lottie and a longtime inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderators, Lottie and Sparky. Sparky, being a third stage guild navigator, we've learned a little bit about the limitations of third stage guild navigating because it is just simply too hot in Northern California for him to be able to fold space and become man cave. Yes. Here we go. Almost everything works. Thank you very kindly, Thomas, over at FYINation.com. Hear you loud and clear. Now, don't blast me out on FYINation.com. And no crazy ladies allowed to have 12 kids tonight, please. Yeah, you know, if any ladies sane, crazy, or anywhere in between have 12 kids tonight, we may have to start a new religion. And that's okay, because it's prayer meeting Wednesday, too, this 18th day of May, 2016. And let's see, just a little bit of housekeeping to get out of the way. The Skype line is still screwed up. Yesterday, I could get audio out of Skype and into the board. Today, I can get audio from me into Skype, but no Skype back to the board. So, damn it, I forgot to go to the liquor store. Still no tequila. So, you're going to have that. But, no, that's kind of where we are for the evening. I'm still working on the interface. And, God, I really want to have it fixed by tomorrow. I wanted to have it fixed by today. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network. It's a little family community congregation, but you know that. Tim from L.A. has joined in the frivolity in the chat room, as has Laborman. Good evening to both of you. Yeah, like I said, I'd hoped to have it fixed by today, but I didn't. I can't gripe too much because this lovely little audio unit has lasted us about, 7, 8 years? And that's 7 or 8 years of being plugged up almost nonstop. So, no, I can't complain. Just going to have to do something about it in fairly short order because this is intolerable. I've got some ideas. It's always ideas, but anyway, so we're sort of screwed for Skype and line one, which is 304-574-8178. Don't use that line tonight. We do, however, have the stress line, and this being the 18th day of May 2016, this is the day last year when we lost Mr. Stress. So we will remember him fondly this evening. The stress line, of course, named for Bill, Mr. Stress Miller, legendary Cleveland bluesman, harpist, and raconteur, absolutely. He's missed most every day. And so we dedicate the stress line to him just so that, you know, because sometimes people just want to come in and, you know that Mr. Stress's nickname came, you probably heard this story at one point. Mr. Stress's nickname came from the fact that his one of his wives was a psych nurse. And the code for a patient getting out of control, the code word for a patient getting out of control on the floor was Mr. Stress, Mr. Stress. And hence Bill Miller became Bill Mr. Stress Miller. Yeah. So we remember you well, Bill, wherever you are or aren't. Yeah. Just we remember you well. Let's see. Oh, what day is it? Oh, well, it's more than just Wednesday. But you know that. It's more than just hump day. It's more than just, you know, downhill to Friday. No, brothers and sisters, it is prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. And I tell you what, after the stressful Sunday, Monday, Tuesday that we had, I'm feeling especially spiritually, what? Well, anyway, you slice it. It's prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn, and we had a lovely fellowship dinner down in the fellowship hall in the basement of the cathedral here. I unfortunately was unable to partake, as I am presently on a Bob don't eat nothing for a while diet. Stress is not good for a human being. Funny how that works out. But everybody knows who's been listening to the program for a while that, you know, I've got my guts are bass ackwards, one in a million birth defect. And it, in combination with the fact that I was evolutionarily programmed down in my genetic code to create and store fats. Well, every now and then my innards just light up and I have to not eat food for a while. So that's where I am. But it was a lovely, lovely fellowship hall dinner. Chicken and dumpling. You know, I cheated. We had the little old blue-haired ladies made chicken and dumplings because they know it's a favorite. They just didn't know my innards was acting up. And so I snuck over and I got a little bit of the broth. I'm told I can have chicken broth. But all the dumplings they make, oh, they're wonderful. And they're not sad. And they close the lid real tight so they'll steam and get all lovely and fluffy and puffy. And with the garlic and the salt and the black pepper and the long hunks of yeah. Some creamed peas along the way, yeah. Fresh lettuce, fresh wilted lettuce out of the garden. You know, little hot chicken fat this time through, not pork chop grease, but it went over beautifully. And then a mandarin orange cream cake, if you can imagine. Oh, the deacon set on that with a will, brethren and sistren. They did, and there was not so much as a crumb left for the littlest among us. That's why they have to be ambitious and move toward, you know, being deacons themselves one day. But no, the deacons trundled their pendulous bulk up out of the fellowship hall and up the two flights of stairs up to the main level, and went out to the parking lot where they was trying to win the sinners over by smoking with them out in the parking lot. Absolutely. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen and amen. But, as is always the case, they're reluctant to come in and do their deaconing job. And so we had to send Sister Carol Baker out there with the cattle prod and the flit gun. And with just a little bit of convincing, she was able to drive them back out of the parking lot, down through the main doors, through the vestibule, past that 20-year-old bowl of desiccated butter mints, down the center aisle where they are now waiting and getting ready to pass the plate. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Big old brass plates with little velvet bottoms and a PayPal button in them. Just push it there. If you prefer to mail in your Louvre offering, it can always be sent to the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEY, WV. 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEYWV 25801. Checks and money orders, please, because we share a UPS store address with the Klan, who are, you know, the Klan. But just let me know if you want to do it that way, and I'll tell Boss Man Wayne he can leave his spider-proof gloves in the truck and just take the ball bat with him in case he runs into a Klansman. So there's that. That's where we are. And as we play the offertory hymn with every head bowed and every eye closed, glory, hallelujah, amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just one cracked open long, just enough to keep from getting wonked in the head with one of them big old heavy brass plates with the blood red velvet bottom there and the PayPal button in the middle of it. Just take it and pass it, and hopefully we won't get ourselves in the situation we was in yesterday. But anyway, we will call up the Ministry of Music now for our offertory hymn, Amen. Are you ready to sing? Are you ready to make a joyful noise unto the Lord? Ha! Glory! Of course, of course. Brother Minister of Music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say,
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity, yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, glory, brethren and sistren, hallelujah, amen. Oh, I'm calling to you now. Ha! Glory, I want you to get up off of your seat, onto your feet, and come on out and come on down that blood-red aisle. Brethren and sistren, fall upon your knees at the altar. Raise your hands and then bring them back slowly down and lay them. Ha! Amen. On the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense a-flowing through you from the glory, amen, surfer on high. I am Arch Pope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Bob Kincaid. And this is the Cathedral of Common Sense and Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Glory, glory, glory. Praise His holy name. Amen and amen. Brethren and sisters. Brethren and sisters. I'm calling to you. I'm imploring you. I'm abjuring you. I'm and lots of other things too that don't immediately come to mind. Enjoining upon you, brethren and sistren. You know, the heathens had them a couple of primaries last night, and I mean by heathens, them demon-crats, brethren and sistren. They had a couple of primaries last night. Oh, wait a minute. A couple of announcements before we get into the biggest part of the message. Brother Deacon Gerald, who is in charge, as you know, of the maintenance of building and grounds, glory, hallelujah. Brother Deacon Gerald had passed me a couple of notes, a couple of announcements before we get into the holiness portion of the broadcast. Brother Deacon Gerald asked, would the owner of the blue Ford Taurus license plate IB for God please move your car? It's blocking the wheelchair ramp to the fellowship hall, and the little blue-haired ladies can't get their hover rounds down the ramp. It seems they're trapped up there about four deep, he's told. And could whoever is drawing the mustaches on the stick people on the restroom signs please stop? The custodian doesn't think it's very sexy or funny, either one. And it's not very nice to mock the custodian's immediate family that way. Y'all really ought to know better. But brethren and sisters, the heathens did have themselves a primary. A couple of them, Oregon and Kentucky stand. No, really, get that Ford Taurus moved, would you? The little old blue-haired ladies are all wore out from making that fellowship hall dinner, and they want to get it down here into the sanctuary too. They get some of their best napping done during the sermon, don't you understand? But brethren and sistren, it doesn't matter who the Democrats nominate. Glory, hallelujah, praise Jesus, it doesn't matter. Because he is the ultimate decision maker. He is the decider. Amen. Glory. And so, brethren and sistren, even though Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton only squeaked out a victory in Kentucky by a couple of thousand votes that she had to get by spending oogly googly amounts of hedge fund and Wall Street cash, even though she still got whomped in Oregon, even though it was nigh impossible for a whole bunch of people to vote in that primary. Oh, it was a mess out there. They got vote by mail, which is good, which encourages voter participation. But they got this thing now where, and I imagine here in West Virginia, we're going to see it next year. They got this thing now where everybody gets automatic registered, like. But when they get automatic registered, they're automatic registered, no party affiliation. So you actually got to go and change your registration from no party affiliation to either being one of them heathen demoncrats or a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Republican. But even so, Bernie eked out a win. Oh, what? Okay. Y'all can stand down. Brother Deacon Gerald, it turns out Sister Carol is the one what drew the mustaches on the door. She done that. She drew mustaches on the stick people on the women's room and the men's room so as to make our bathrooms compliant with unisex access. Well, that just makes sense. Sister Carol, are you gonna go put a skirt on the man figure as well? I mean, that would seem to clear up all the issues around all that. I imagine Brother Deacon Gerald wouldn't mind in the least if you'd done that. But brethren and sistren, glory, it does not matter who the Democrats nominate. No, it doesn't. It doesn't in the least. Because, you see, as I noted, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is the decider. And he's decided who's gonna run this here place, this here country, right into the ground, I might add. And brethren and sisters, it ain't going to be no Bernie Sanders, no Dr. First Lady Sanders, Secretary Clinton. It's going to be T-Rump. How do I know? Well, I got somebody here who talks to God daily, at least in between mouthfuls of mashed potatoes and whatnot, when he can, Brethren and sisters, I got Pastor John Hagee, rat chair. Mm-hmm. And he got a message for you, brethren and sisters. He does. You vote for one of them Democrats or that anarcho-syndicalist Jill Stein at your peril. Stein, I bet she's Jewish. One of them Christ killers. Just like that Bernie Sanders is. But, you know, even the Methodists that Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton is jined up with, they ain't no better. Bunch of heathens. I mean, these Methodist churches that allows the homosexuals to go to church with them. Sickening, I know. But brethren and sisters, Pastor Hagee has a message for you. You take the keys to heaven and hell with you right into that voting booth in November. You do. If you're thinking about voting for a Democrat nominee, I imagine you can feel the little hot sparky lickety flames of hell just a larping on your foot soles. I'll bet you can. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, brethren and sistren, I forgot our audio difficulties. I'm going to have to bring Pastor Brother John Hagee in on a different channel. Demons. Demons just everywhere, I tell you. Come on. There we go. Yes, sirree. I don't think that just because there's some kind of a delay that in any way obviates the import of Pastor Brother Minister John Hagee's message. He girds himself up with the powers of the Spirit every day. And if he pushed back from the table once in a while, his girding wouldn't have to be so damn big, but that's a bit much to ask, I reckon.
Martin Niemöller said, to see evil and not call it evil is evil. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act.
Time out. God's anointed mouthpiece here can't be bothered to get everything right. Just in case y'all are getting ready to run off and look up Pastor Martin Niemöller and to not speak is to speak. Well, you ain't going to find it. But, you know, he's on a roll, right? That'd be Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Yet both of whom were responding to the Nazi peril and the abuses of human rights that come with that. Now, I agree. I agree, Brother Steve in New York. Oh, yes. T-Rump, 5 letters. Jesus, 5 letters. Coincidence? I don't think so. Jesus H. Trump. Oh, no, Sister Tracy. No, it's not too early for food porn. Not on a prayer meeting Wednesday. Oh, you would have loved them chicken and dumplings, I'm telling you what. But no, it was Dietrich Bonhoeffer that said that as he was battling Nazi oppression, and not Martin Niemöller. But like I said, the pastor brother minister John Hagee's on a roll. If you hadn't already, edit.
God will not hold us harmless. I want you to understand that as an American citizen, you have a responsibility to go vote. I am going to vote for the candidate that's going to make the U.S. military great again, because the party in power has reduced us to a World War II level, where the Japanese attacked us for the very reason they felt we were too weak to defend ourselves.
Yeah, wait a minute. We're under the yellow peril. I thought it was the Muslims. I thought it was the ISIS and the Daesh and the ISIL and the Al Qaeda and the Al Jabra and the alcohol. But it's the Japanese. Whew, it's worse than I thought. And you'll notice he said, brother and sister, and it's, our military's down to World War II levels. Not pre-World War II levels, but World War II levels. That's pretty damn big military. But again, he's on a roll, or a Kaiser bun, or a breadstick or something. Let's continue.
I'm going to vote for the party that is going to solve the immigration problem, not the one that has created the immigration problem. I'm going to support the party that brings jobs back from China, not through international trade agreements, send millions of jobs to foreign countries because it's cheaper labor and putting millions of Americans out of work. I'm not going to vote for the party that has betrayed Israel for the past 7 years.
Is it just me? Or are you having a hard time receiving the power of discernment from the Holy Spirit so as to interject a little bit of punctuation in any of that? Because it's deviling me. And by the way, why is a Christian, just asking here, why is a Christian all wrought up with what kind of military we have? Well, then again, it's an evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christianity, isn't it? And Peter had a sword. Put up thy sword into his place, for he that lives by the sword shall die by the sword. That ain't in their Bible. Sorry. And Israel, wait, I gotta check back in on that last part there.
Labor and putting millions of Americans out of work. I'm not going to vote for the party that has betrayed Israel for the past 7 years.
What is it, $3.8 billion a year we've been betraying them to the tune of? Well, that's an awkward sentence structure, but yeah, something like that, $3.8, yes, I tell you what, there's lots of people in America could probably stand a little bit of that kind of betraying. Lots and lots of, say, you know, people who don't have health insurance, but people in it, but we pay so that people in Israel can. Steve in New York noting, we have less military. Fuckwad Hagee ate them all. Oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. $3.8 billion of betraying Israel. That's a lot of betraying. Wonder, yeah, did you ever wonder, because they're real good about putting these numbers out there. Did you ever wonder, you know, they'll tell you about tax time every year. The average American worker has to work until June 16th to pay his tax bill or something like that. Did you ever wonder how many days the average American worker has to pay to cover, to make sure that everybody in Israel has access to health insurance? And, you know, and the Israeli military has lots of access to missiles that they can guide into the cribs of little Palestinian children and whatnot. Because I do. I mean, think about it. Ever since Israel was formed in 1948, every single working person in this country has worked a portion of their year to pay for Israel. You know, and Egypt. And all the other countries we help. But just asking. And all those trade deals he's blathering on about? Shh. Let's don't anybody tell Pastor Brother Minister John Hagee that lots and lots of those good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-to-metalist, homosexual Republicans he's going to be a-voting for were just absolutely plum-tickled pink with those trade agreements. I mean, you'd think that Bill and Hillary just kind of fabricated that doom out of, you know, that just cracked out of Bill Clinton's skull like Athena being born full formed out of the head of Zeus. Yeah. Thomas over at FYINation.com says, subject line, Jesus calling. Don't you know you don't need facts when your salvation is involved? Well, of course. Thoughts and prayers, says Thomas, thoughts and prayers. Yeah, those trade agreements, they were passed with no small amount of Republican votes. Republicans that were supported by the likes of John Hagee. Maybe they were even members of his organization, Queefy. Citizens United for Israel, Queefy, yeah. Anyway, let's get back to Pastor Brother Minister John Hagee.
If you can read a newspaper, you know who I'm talking about. So I encourage every one of you, go vote. No candidate is perfect, but I want you to go vote, and may God give us a leader who has the courage to put America first and stand up for we the people.
Yeah, because that's what T-Rump's going to do. Now, you'll notice he didn't say T-Rump specifically. You know why that is. He doesn't want to drop the money on a lawyer retainer to defend the IRS complaints when he endorses a candidate from the pulpit. Which, even though it's a desk, it's got a Bible on it and lots of books and couches and stuff behind him Hey, it's still religion, and he's still a preacher, and he's still a multi-mega million. My God, how many acres does his ranch contain out there outside San Antonio? He's probably got more land than the Ewings had. But there you have it. He done told you. God will hold you accountable if you don't vote for T-Rump. And all kidding aside, this is absolutely one of the more disgusting aspects of religion. Because thus has it ever been. Oh well, you know, if you don't do our political bidding, we're gonna pray you right into a tar pit in hell. Isn't that what he just said? It is. God will hold you accountable for not voting for T-Rump. And why might God do that? Well, you may recall that yesterday, during last night's program, we had a lovely little disquisition, a lovely little babbling seance of blithering insanity, courtesy of Alex Jones. Me, I think the chemtrails have gotten to him. But you may recall that he declared that Michelle Obama is a transvestite man whose children are not her own, and she had poor Joan Rivers snuffed out in the prime of life by sending gargoyle fire down her throat. I get that right? It was gargoyle fire. Streams of lava just right down her gullet. Thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit gifts of discernment that apparently pour out all over the right-wing religion industry in this here country. The greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, in the universe, under God. Amen. Because they know things we don't know. They perceive things. They discern things that we heathens can't perceive nor discern. And after Alex Jones yesterday, today we have Sandy Rios. Oh yes, Lord, yes, Sandy Rios, the female opposite of helmet-headed Brian Fisher, over to the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mississippi, Stan, and it's all tax-free. Well, Sandy Rios is getting in line. Sandy Rios was a big supporter of Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, because he still is. But when Rafaelito decided to ixnay on the campaign K, Sandy Rios took down her Rafaelito poster and immediately put up a T-Rump poster. That's just kind of how it works. And you know why? At one point in time, she thought he's just full of demons, that T-Rump. But she's decided that she can live with a T-Rump presidency because Hillary Clinton. And I reiterate that I'm going to, if she's the nominee, I'm going to vote for her. It's absolutely meaningless here in West Virginia. There will be a cesspit sewer breach of Trump voters drowning out mine and every other progressive vote in this state. Might not have been that way with Bernie, but it will be with Hillary. It's going to be like that in a lot of states in the U.S. But I'm still going to vote for her. And I'm not being mean, and I'm not trying to piss anybody off, but I just want to remind you that when you holler, "I ain't never, ever, 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 ever going to vote for no Hillary Clinton," well, you're kind of standing with Sandy Rios and John Hagee. And frankly, I wouldn't want to be in the same building with them, or the same town, or the same zip code, or the same state. It's about all I can do to be in the same damn nation with the likes of these religion industry frauds and hustlers and hucksters and gospel sharps. I mean, Pastor Hagee, I mean, as Brother Deacon Gerald reminds me, it's right there in 2 Corinthians, just like T-Rump said, "Go thee unto the polling place to cast thy vote. Cast not thy vote for the heathen, but for the righteous, or thou might be smited by the Lord and cast into the lake of fire to burn forever in pain and agony." Seems like the Almighty takes civic duty very seriously. If you're not careful, you might be struck down by the Lord. Carol Baker, you can say this, I can't. Sister Carol notes, Sandy Rios, president of Cunts for Jesus. Whew. Remember, that's on Sister Carol. I didn't say that. Just sharing the observations here inside the family, community, congregation. But no, it's not just that she's voting for Trump. She Sandy Rios, is voting again Hillary Clinton. And you know why? Because Alex Jones was wrong.
I think that conservatives of all stripes have to look at the whole picture. We are in a new world. And the game has changed, and we don't have all the choices we would like to have. So I would just say this, and we will talk about this. Perhaps we'll open the phone lines on Friday and talk about it. This is what I know about Hillary Clinton. Hillary?
She's waiting until Friday to open the phone lines. She must be having phone problems like us, too, but there's a hell of a lot less excuse for her. Jesus. Okay, I know this about Hillary Clinton. Okie dokie. Tell us all, Sandy Rios.
Clinton embraces every sexual deviancy you can imagine. I will never forget in the 90s, I've said this before, I'm repeating it on this microphone. Wait,
she embraces every sexual deviancy known. Kind of makes you wonder, it doesn't, by implication, that say it doesn't. Isn't Sandy Rios saying she herself only embraces certain sexual deviancies, but not everyone? It's that everyone part that Sandy Rios seems to be objecting to. I mean, one of these days. Nah, I think it would probably have to involve acid or sodium pentothal or maybe a little ecstasy or something. But wouldn't it be nice just to be able to have a relatively straightforward conversation with one of these evangelical, amosexual, fundamentalists and just ask them, I mean, because, you know, this is kind of like a manual. We need some pretty... I don't want to say graphic, but I guess I'm going to say graphic. We need to be told down to the jot and tittle how it is we can go about having sexy time and not offend Sandy Rios or Pastor Brother Minister John Hagee or Pastor Minister Brother former governor, former presidential candidate, diabetes, snake oil, cure salesman, Mike Huckstaby. Or any of them. First they need to have a convention. It'd be kind of like the Council of Nicaea back in the 4th century of the Common Era. Constantine called that one called that meeting to order to just figure out what it is that they commonly believe. Council of Nicaea was a lot of fun. I mean, I think it came to fisticuffs a couple of times, and a couple of people might have got their heads lopped off. Kill the heretic and all that. But really, they need to figure out what kind of sexy time is okay, and then we need them to tell us. Yeah, we probably need several 8x10 color glossy photographs of circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one when you get right down to it. Because, you know... One person's deviancy is another person's really boring vanilla sex. I mean, is it okay to have the lights on? Is it strictly missionary? Does anybody remember which one gets tied up? Can there be implements, accessories, music, candles? Creams and scented lotions? Rubber bands? Leather? Chaps? Cowboy and cowgirl boots? Cantaloupes? Because it's not fair for these people, and I use the word loosely, people, it's not fair for them to tell us about all these sexual deviancies and then not tell us which ones, I mean, what, because I get the distinct impression that sexual deviancy is anything that Sandy Rios isn't doing or having done to her. Okay, that's I think that's a starting place, Sister Carol. I'm sure it has something to do, she says, with lights off, missionary position. Woman mostly clothed, no toys, music, and candles. He gets off, she gets the wet spot. Really? You think those good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist Christians, you think, I mean, now, you know damn good and well that they want their women folk naked, Sister Carol. Dadgummit. Or at least barefoot. Then again, there's that whole problem of the wigs and the stripper heels. Oh yeah, that's a real problem in amongst the upstanding, God fearing, Bible believing, Christ centered, evangelical fundamentalists. Stripper heels and wigs. Got one good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, blown right the hell away down in Selmer, Tennessee, a few years back. Really and for truly, it did. I say all this, though, because we're about to have a disquisition from good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist Sandy Rios. I left out the homosexual part, didn't I? Damn it. On sexual deviancy and, you know, Hillary Clinton. So, you know, did I mention that you might want to get the hockey puck out? Because you really might. You really, really might. Okay, let's do this. Just, I warned you.
The Congress on Women, a Beijing Congress on Women, Hillary Clinton was the first lady then. She was a driving force. Behind the emphasis on women, and I'll never forget that. One of the things at that, this was shocking to me at the time. There was a tent that you went in and they would this is going to be, sorry, if you got little kids, put although they're not spared from much anymore.
She's having a harder time of it than I am, bless her little pea-picking heart. What is it? Now remember, Sandy Rios is broadcasting on terrestrial radio, so it's not like it can get too hanky. Poor little cheerins. I mean, did you hear her kind of begin to, like, stammer and say, is she getting a little rot? Because it sounds like she might be. Mercy sakes. But I guess we'll have to take our chances here and find out, won't we? Oh, Lordy. Let's back up a little bit so that, bless the little children. They're not spared much anymore. Hillary Clinton's going to make them watch porn in kindergarten.
There was a tent to describe lesbian lovemaking. I mean, that was in the...
No, wait. What?
Behind the emphasis on women, and I'll never forget that. One of the things at that... This was shocking to me at the time.
Is it not shocking anymore?
There was a tent you went in and they would show... this is going to be... Sorry, if you got little kids, put your... although they're not spared for much anymore... there was a tent to describe lesbian lovemaking. I mean, that was in the Congress on Women in the 90s.
Wait. There was an attempt or a tent? I'm having a little trouble with the art of knowing words right now. A tent at the World Congress of... And you were there, Sandy? You naughty minx, you. All right, I don't mean to just over subject you to Sandy Rios, but I just want to get this straight, and I want to know, you know how she found out about the tent with the lesbian lovemaking, the good God fearing upstanding Bible believing Christ centered evangelical fundamentalist amosexual Christians were there, the men folk going, really, my wife won't do that and let me watch.
Hillary Clinton was the first lady then. She was a driving force behind the emphasis on women, and I'll never forget that. One of the things at that, this was shocking to me at the time. There was a tent you went in and they would show...
tent.
This is going to be... Sorry, if you got little kids, put your...
I mean, a tent. A tent. What kind of tent, Sandy Rios? Great big circus tent? Just lesbians all over the place teaching other people, other women, how to be lesbians. And no, damn it, Pastor, you can't be a lesbian too. You're a man. But I want to be a male lesbian. A tent. And I'm guessing it's not one of those easily constructed with the foldy, spindly things that make a little geodesic dome when you go out camping at Red Rock or something. No, this is big old tent. It's like tent revival meeting. Probably rented it from Oral Roberts. Tent. To teach people how to be lesbians. Although, interestingly enough, people have figured out, certain women have figured out how to be lesbians since pretty much time immemorial. That's the curse of the modern age. We've forgotten so much of our traditional customs and heritage and wisdom that now you got it. No, it has nothing to do with Swedish automobiles. It's not a Volvo. No, Sandy Rios, continue.
Although they're not spared for much anymore, there was a tent to describe lesbian lovemaking. I mean, that was in the Congress on Women in the 90s in Beijing, in Hillary Clinton.
Who? Chinese lesbians. Mm-mm. And Hillary Clinton was there in Beijing. And this is before the internet. No wonder there's so many ads that say hot, sexy Asian women want you. Every time I go to spankmeivebeennaughty.com. How glory in Beijing. I mean, I always heard it was the Republicans said they had the big tent. Yeah, lesbian school, I know. It ain't often that Sister Carol Baker is reduced to typing in all caps. There's a lesbian school? Are there scholarships? Practicums? Well, I guess it would be practicums. No, even if it's more than one practicum, it's still practicums. Because, well, you know, the way the word ends. But,
Clinton was in this up to her ears, and surely you must know.
No, she wasn't in it up to her ears. The other lesbian was hanging on to her ears. Why? I can get through just about any day of any week, and why? How is it I got to go to the religion? I told you we need a list. How is it I can go through a day, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, but I got to go to the religion industry for the real good, kinky, dirty stuff. She was in it up to her ears. Well, I've heard some lesbians like it that way. Well, you know, it is it's a damn shame that we don't have Mr. Stress here. He could answer that question, Carol Baker. Carol says, do you have to be a harmonica player to have Lebanese sex with the Asian women's? In the tent. Is the tent red? Little literary reference there, but never mind.
That her own, more than rumors swirling about her own sexual proclivities before she became First Lady.
More than rumors. As a longtime practitioner of the art of word knowing, what the fuck does more than rumors mean? I mean, more than rumors means, like, facts, right? More than rumors means that there's somebody who's been an eyewitness to it, who has gone public with it, and whose credibility has, via maybe the legal system or cross-examination, something, who has had their credibility tested. You know, put out things like affidavits and depositions and time out, Jack. Okay, time out. Silly me. This right here. And last night with Alex Jones and killer Queen Michelle Obama pouring hot gargoyle lava down the throat of Joan Rivers. This is proof that the First Amendment is, well, that our libel laws don't work. I mean, just because Hillary Clinton is a public figure, and a public figure that I know many of you don't like, and may find yourself going, well, you know, that Sandy Rios, I mean, you know, she's awful, and that Sandy Rios may have a point. No, Sandy Rios does not have a point. The one redeeming thing about most of us who have objections to Hillary Clinton is the fact that our objections are based in fact and are not based in big lesbian tents in Beijing. Uh, Brother Deacon Gerald, we may have to have some pastoral counseling here real soon. Gerald asked, does the Lesbian University offer online courses? If so, is it accredited, and are those credits transferable? I'm asking for a friend. Well, you have a very naughty, sick, perverted friend, Brother Deacon Gerald. Pray. And Devin merely observes, all those jackrabbits swirling in that big tent? No, the libel laws don't work. Because, see, the theory behind the libel laws is that as long as you're a public figure, you can say just about anything you want to about somebody, as long as you don't say it with actual malice or something like that. It gets kind of confusing. And that's great when we're looking at, say, Larry Flint mercilessly mocking, say, Jerry Falwell and, say, putting up a mock ad for some liquor, saying, insinuating that Jerry Falwell had an incestuous relation with his mama. And we all go, son of a bitch deserves it, evil as he is. Yeah, I mean, you get my point, right? Because she just said, more than rumors. You heard that, right? More than rumors. Which means that there's some sort of empirical evidence out there of Hillary Clinton's sexual deviancy since before she married Bill Clinton. Ooh. Now we got a time frame on it. And yet no one has the power to put Sandy Rios to the proof. Because the case, even though questions like this are actually jury questions, getting them past the summary judgment phase of the process, which is right after the motions to dismiss and after the depositions and everything, getting past summary judgment is a bitch. It's a booger. And so that means that Sandy Rios and Alex Jones can just do this. I mean, I object to Hillary Clinton's policies. I object to the fact that she apparently has just really, oh my God, God-awful judgment. Hey, let's invade Libya. What could possibly go wrong? And then, of course, Muammar Gaddafi gets raped with a, it gets sodomized, I mean, that's a word, gets raped with a sword. And Hillary sits there on camera talking to Diane Sawyer or one of those.
We saw he died.
Which, in any situation, by anything resembling any ethics that I was ever taught or felt, is disgusting.
We came, we saw, he died. Yeah, he was raped with a sword. Ha ha ha! They stuck a sharp Arabic sword right up his ass, and they turned it, and they twisted it, and they jabbed it in and out, and they fucked him with that sword. Ha 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 ha! We came, we saw, he died. Ha 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 ha! Give him a little bit more.
Carol asks, don't you mean slander? Well, libel is printed or broadcast. Slander is spoken. Mm-hmm. I mean, I find that we came, we saw, he died thing just really, really bloodthirstily disgusting. But if you criticize her for her Iraq vote or her atrocious judgment or Libya or wanting to start World War III in Syria, that's at least fact-based.
Sandy Rios and her big Beijing tent full of lesbians that was apparently called together by Hillary Clinton is just bullshit. And because she gets to hide behind the lacy lacy vestments of the religion industry, she can just do this. And we, the people of the United States, trying to make that more perfect union, are absolutely powerless against her. Jim noting, Hilly? A sexual deviant? What's next? Recordings of Mrs. Eleanor Roosevelt talking dirty? Oh, boy! A little attempt to educate yours truly here, courtesy of Steve. Subject line, morning wood, etc. Brother Bob, if you don't know the difference between sex and gender, how should you ever know the difference between love and an errant sperm shot? Oh, okay, I'm not trying to... no, I think that applies to Sandy Rios. Regards, Steve in China. Ain't that the truth? That's toaster-worthy this evening. If you don't know the difference between sex and gender, how should you ever know the difference between love and an errant sperm shot? Wowzer. All right, back to the tent. Coffee break's over.
So I just, I think that, you know, she's an advocate of gay marriage, and I mean a strong advocate. She's been endorsed by every radical homosexual activist group in the country.
Now, hold on just a minute there, Sandra. There's lots of video out there, and it upsets no small number of people in the LGBTQQIA community and their allies, of Hillary repeatedly saying, you know, on the floor of the Senate, in interviews, in debates, I firmly believe that marriage is an institution instituted by God for the union of one man and one woman. Now, that doesn't sound like such a strong advocate for gay marriage. Now, does it? She came around to it because, look, it is what it is. Hillary Clinton came around to endorsing gay marriage because it became politically expedient to do so. Okay? It's the same reason that she voted the way she did on the Iraq War, to give the power to Dick and Dub to slaughter and massacre a million innocents in that country that never fired a shot at us. It was politically expedient to do so, or so she and her advisors determined. It was politically expedient because she was scared to death, because she's not a good campaigner and she's not a good candidate, and she was scared to death that she would be beaten up in her New York Senate races for being, you know, a sissy liberal. One of them peaceniks. And also because, after all, she is the protege of Henry Kissinger, who, frankly, has less morals than a moray eel. So there's that. But we're not out here running around talking. But see, that's the problem with a Sandy Rios. It's her way or the highway. Her way or the low way.
I mean, you can't. You can't do right by these people. You can't negotiate with them. Their morality is whatever they say it is, whenever they say it is, however they say it is. And it's subject to change at, you know, any damn minute. And you're kind of just, we're kind of just, you know, screwed. Makes things a little difficult. Yeah, just trying to keep up with how it is we're supposed to behave and whatnot. Unfortunately, we're nowhere near done with this, so let's continue. Because it's going to get worse.
Country. Well, as far as all the major ones, Human Rights Campaign and others, especially New York, she gets that endorsement for a reason, you know. She gets it for a reason. And when it comes to Planned Parenthood, she's their guy. They have totally endorsed Hillary Clinton, and for a reason. So on those two reasons alone, and I could fill, and I will fill in a lot of blanks on that. The choice is Donald Trump, who says he personally hates abortion, wanted to defund Planned Parenthood, but didn't want to do away with Planned Parenthood. So he had a murky position on what to do about it, but as opposed to a person who is a total advocate of abortion at any stage for all 9 months. And you have a choice of a guy who even when he was in a businessman in New York City in the 90s, said he did not approve of gay marriage.
Wait, where's the part that we weren't supposed to let the little ones hear? Because, well, I mean, I guess you could argue that the little ones shouldn't hear anything that Sandy Rios ever says. But this is just this is just Sandy Rios doing for Donald Trump what, you know, Monica did for Bill.
Fully endorse Hillary Clinton, and for a reason. On those two reasons alone, and I could fill, and I will fill in a lot of blanks on that. The choice is Donald Trump, who says he personally hates abortion, wanted to defund Planned Parenthood, but didn't want to do away with Planned Parenthood.
And only started hating abortion when he had to hate abortion to get the Republican nomination, and has probably paid for no small number of abortions his own self. And thinks his daughter is hot and would date her, you know, if he could. Yeah. Nice. Because, you know, Donald Trump, he's got him some morals. Not like that, not like that lesbian, that lesbian tent, Beijing tent pole Hillary Clinton.
He had a murky position on what to do about it, but as opposed to a person who is a total advocate of abortion at any stage for all 9 months. And you have a choice of a guy who even when he was in a businessman.
Now, hold on a damn minute. Hillary Clinton is an advocate for abortion at any point for the whole 9 months. You got that, right? A, as Sister Carol Baker points out, Hillary has never said that, ever never said it. And B, in point of fact, she did say that she would be willing to negotiate a woman's right to choose away if she could just find some Republicans who wanted to craft legislation that protected the life of the mother.
Ta-da!
But it doesn't matter. Facts are meaningless to the religion industry, the evangelical fundamentalists, amosexuals, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Mm-hmm. But Donald Trump, you know, he got him some morals because God is love.
In New York City in the 90s, said he personally did not approve of gay marriage. That was pretty gutsy, I think, at that time in his life. He is not a purist on this. He's not as good on transgender bathrooms as I wish he were, but he is not.
He's not as good on transgender bathrooms as I wish he was. I'm sorry, that was a bit of a pregnant pause there, but
what does that mean?
He wants all transgendered people to, or Sandy Rios does, wear little tiny corks and just blow up. And isn't transgender bathrooms what they want? I mean, isn't that where the religion industry is? They want the male transgendered people to go in the men's bathroom so that the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexuals can kill the hell out of them. That's what they want. Separate but equal bathrooms, maybe some separate but equal water fountains, some separate but equal seats on the bus. Sure. Why not? But Donald Trump isn't as good on transgender bathrooms as she would like. Maybe Sandy Rios would like to design the transgender bathrooms. Maybe all the seats could have like little spikes on them or nails or something, or maybe the urinals could have some metal behind them with some wires hooked to a diehard battery so that people get shocked in their deviant places when they try to go wee wee.
Hillary Clinton on these issues, and there is a difference. And so I have to say, for people to now try to undermine his candidacy and to make sure then that Hillary Clinton will walk into the White House, we have never seen any, we haven't seen anything yet. And so what is coming our way if we have another 4 years, 8 years of a leftist such as Hillary Clinton? Perhaps
a okay. So she's no longer a center right political pragmatist. No, she's a leftist. My God, Sandy Rios can't even say left. I wonder if she can even turn left when she's driving a car or walking somewhere. My guess is she has to do everything by just by turning right until she gets to going in the other tip, because, you know, leftist. Professional broadcasting, ladies and gentlemen.
We need to revisit. Some people are not old enough to know the policies of the Clintons and how dangerous they were. I remember one of them was that they loathed the military.
Ah, well, I remember that. Was that executive order number 32918-61J2Y, loathing of the military executive order? Was that the one? Because they loathed the military. Except they didn't. Hillary is, after all, a hawk. Bill would have gotten his war on a little better if he could have, but they were waiting for W to come along so they could, because they knew that he was an easier sell. God almighty.
And they showed it by defunding it. The military was crippled under the presidency of President Bill Clinton.
It was so crippled, we couldn't even go to war in Iraq and Afghanistan and spend trillions of dollars and get a bunch of soldiers. I mean, if they hadn't crippled the military, we could have got 10 or 20 or 50 or 100,000 American soldier people killed in Afghanistan and Iraq the way that Jesus wanted us to. God almighty, the stupidity of this. She's, because, you know, she knows that she can play that card in the, and the strange little people who live in bell jars and walk around and walk around bumping into walls and listening to her program.
Bill and Hillary Clinton hate the military. That's why he scrapped all our jets and took apart all our nuclear bombs. Could Bill Hillary Clinton hate the military?
And that's why when President Bush came in, there was such rejoicing because they built the military up, and thank goodness they did, because then we had this terrible attack on 9/11, and we were able to,
Oh, screw this. I'm drinking. In the short space of 9 months, George W. Bush built the military back up because we had this terrible attack of 9/11, but you can hear with her stuttering, that she realizes she's going into a place she's just about a gnat's ass away from having to say that Saddam did 9/11. Yeah, which most of the people who live in bell jars and walk around bumping into walls and listening to her program already believe anyway.
President Bill Clinton, and that's why when President Bush came in, there was such rejoicing because.
Do you remember the rejoicing? I remember the rejoicing. I remember people rejoicing by throwing raw eggs at George Bush's motorcade on the day of his inauguration. And there was much rejoicing. Yay.
Because they built the military up, and thank goodness they did, because then we had this terrible attack on 9/11, and we were able to, fight back and show the strength of America through our fighting men and women. So... do you want the military gutted further? I'm just wondering.
Because, that's what lesbian Hillary Clinton will do. She'll gut the military, and then with her gutted military, she'll go and start World War III. Because, I mean... What does this woman know and not know, Sandy Rios? You know what I mean? Does she not know that Hillary is Henry Kissinger's protege? She's kind of got to, doesn't she? No, she doesn't. Nah, it's just a matter of not smartening up the chumps. Egads, I've almost eaten up half the program with the filibobster. I'm sorry, the prayer meeting sermon. But we'll kind of take a break here. She's an expert on revisionist history. No, Carol, she's an expert on revisionist hysteria. And that's it. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, for getting us started this evening. And thank you very kindly to Gary, Laborman, who said, have half a show on me. Challenge. So, if $100 comes in, Laborman, Gary, will turn that into $200. Your 5 becomes 10, 10 becomes 20, 20, 40, 40, 80, 50, 100. Or if somebody just kicks in $100, Laborman will be there. So that challenge is on the table. Thank you very kindly, Gary. Thank you very, very much indeed. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. And thanks going out overnight. Or I guess I should say over the last 24 hours or so, to Joyce. Thank you very kindly, Joyce. And brand new subscriber. Thank you to Grand Point Enterprise We welcome new subscribers. Thank you also to Alec and to Ernest. And thank you very kindly to Charlie, who got in under the wire last night, but I didn't get a chance to thank him during the program. Thank you all very kindly. And again, challenge on the table. We'll take a little break. The stress line is open. Unfortunately, we've still got Skype machine problems. I'm working on it. I really, really am. I worked on it. Like I said, I worked on it so hard. I got it to where it was the exact opposite of what it was the other day. Cool, huh? Yeesh. So, yeah, a little break. And then conversation, 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. As we remember Bill, Mr. Stress Miller today, and, you know, the stress line that is named after him. This is listener-supported conversation radio. Radio like none other. Really, when you get right down to it? You guys tell me that all the time. Thank you very kindly, Brother Deacon Asa, for saying, glad to have Pastor Brother Bob back on the saddle. Thank you, Asa. Thank you very much. Break time. This is The Horn. I'm Bob.
starts to thinking. He sees daddy's new wife driving round in a Lincoln. There's a lot he'd like to ask if he could get the chance, but he's scared he might kill the old man. He wonders what the Lord would say if he waits it all out. And it's a small town.
There's never a bad time for a drive-by trucker song. Go-Go Boots. It seemed appropriate. This is The Horn. Prayer meeting Wednesday for the 18th of May, 2016. And look, we carry on and we have our fun. And then we, you know, deal with the likes of Pastor Hagee and Sandy Rios on prayer meeting Wednesday. But the fact of the matter is, no matter how hard I try, I am never going to be able to approach the reality, the ridiculous reality, the absurd reality of Christianity in America. Nope. Dateline Winter Park, Florida. Where a young mother named Katie Vasquez is taking care of her newborn. Oh, no, really. Did you put the hockey puck away? You shouldn't have put the hockey puck away. Katie Vasquez, Winter Park, Florida. Shared a photograph onto social media with the remark, sometimes in our busy, crazy, I would emphasize crazy, thank you, Goddess of Irony, for working that into the statement, sometimes in our busy, crazy, hectic lives, we forget how wonderful our God is. Today, I feel as though he set me a sign saying, everything will be okay. I'm right here by your side. You know, it's like that parable about the two sets of footprints in the sand. And after a while, there's only one set of footprints. And you say, Lord, what happened to that other set of footprints? And the Lord doesn't say, well, that's where I threw the little bastard to the sharks. He says, that's when I picked you up, when you could no longer go on alone. It's touching. It's so touching. It's touching, just like Katie Vasquez's story is. Because Katie Vasquez, she was reminded by the almighty, all-powerful creator of the universe how great he is. How great thou art. How great thou art. Okay, no more singing. Because Katie Vasquez went to changed the poopy diety of her baby. And there it was, and I'm looking at it now. Right there in the center of the disposable. A perfect brown cross. That's right, Katie Vasquez's little baby is a pooping out the sign of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Kind of moments like this, you kind of wish the Inquisition was still around, because they'd just kind of grab up. Wait a minute, what, Katie Vasquez? No, I'm sorry, that's heresy. We're going to have to burn your feet off. Well, no, Stockton Leary in the chat room says, a turd with the face of Jesus? No. No, it's not a full-on poo. It's more of a cross-shaped skid mark. Mm-hmm. Little Vasquez, a newborn, she said, this sign came in the oddest form. My baby's poop. I went to change his diaper, and he pooped a cross. It might not... That's got to hurt coming out. At least the crown of thorns wasn't in it, or the sign that says IRNI. I'm right nailed in. It might not be the prettiest sign, but he put it where he knew I'd see it, in my baby's diaper. LOL. Hard to miss what's right there in front of you, or in the case of the baby, right there behind you. One wiseacre responded simply by saying, holy shit! Vasquez, not to be deterred, said, did you see what I did there, deterred? Don't try that at home. If you can or want to, she said, feel free to share the message that God is with us, and he gives us signs to let us know that things will be okay. It's not always the prettiest sign, but he puts it where he knows we'll see it. We're good most of the time, but God is good all the time. And there it is. Over at the Friendly Atheist, the person who posted this, the Friendly Atheist said, if that diaper is any indication, my own baby's last bowel movement must have been God screaming at me, because there were a hell of a lot of crosses all blended together. Well, Jack in Shreveport, it looks like you're going to go to hell with the rest of us. Jack says, her sweet baby butt dialed Jesus. Toaster. Oh, mercy. I'm going to have to hang on to that photograph and just show it to, you know, Agnes, because she'll not be okay. I'm not okay. And all we got in common is her misery, so the least we can do is share it. Let's go over to the stress line and talk to Jim down in Louisiana, Stan. Hey, Jim.
What's up, Bob?
You are.
I'm enjoying you. A little sermon there, and what you were just talking about, they're looking for a sign. The weird thing about looking for a sign, if you think about it, not from a non-religious, a psychological point of view, and maybe even physiological, in order for us as a species to evolve and get where we are, one of the key things is looking for things that, you know, match, you know, this is where I see food, this, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And they incorporate that as to, and I guess you could, it's a sign from God, but,
No, this is straight out of Life of Brian. Follow the shoe, no, follow the gourd, no, follow the poo.
That's one of my favorite
Monty Python, that, you know, Cleese and Palin and Eric Idle and Graham, they couldn't have written this, Jim.
I know what I loved about that. To me, that was a basically an analogy for the breakup of how you end up with so many different sects.
Oh my God, we've got a new neologism here. I have to stop you long enough to share this. because this is brilliant. This is the ultimate toaster. This is like 15 slices. You can do a whole loaf at a time. Chrome plated, genuine accessory shift knobs, wide enough for a whole bagel. Not a bagel. So this is the toaster of toasters. Devin in the chat room just explained what it was that happened in that baby's diaper. You, having been raised Catholic, will immediately recognize the word.
Actually, I wasn't raised Catholic.
Oh, were you not? Oh, okay. I thought you were.
No. The weird thing, my dad, you know, as I told you, was an atheist, and my mom basically a Catholic. And then when they got divorced, when I was about 14, and then on my siblings, so I went to Catholic, started going to Catholic school because of the desegregation, you know, the brown-skinned people starting to go in.
Yeah, but I can't have that.
Well, I still went to public school throughout my life, and I've never been to a Catholic school.
Okay, well, at any rate, see, this will teach me to rely on movies, because there's that one scene in JFK. Where Sissy Spacek is leading you all out to go to Easter services on Sunday, and your dad was late or something, she gets all disgusted with him, and they get in a big argument.
Well, I think that's kind of like where you just throw a lot of stuff together and make a generic scene.
A pastiche.
I mean, we go out. Huh?
A pastiche, a conglomerate, yeah. But anyway, the word that got me so worked up for what happened in that little baby's diaper, skidmata.
What?
Skidmata.
Oh, yeah?
Not stigmata, skidmata. No, I had to mute the mic when I first saw that pop in there because I was laughing.
Yeah.
But, that's good. That's very good.
All right by me, you know.
No.
I got no problem with that. But the weird thing also, when you were talking earlier, I was thinking, well, maybe we've already talked about it, you know, maybe I could vote, hold my nose and vote for Hillary, but I'm still going, if Bernie doesn't get in there, and I'm so sick of what they've been doing to Bernie. Just through the lies and the stealing, and it's just so blatant. And you know, whatever I catch of corporate media just makes me even more firm in my. If Bernie doesn't go, I'm voting Jill Stein. You know, we already talked about that.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter here in West Virginia. It won't matter. You know, progressives in Alabama, Tennessee, et cetera, Louisiana, Mississippi, West Virginia. It won't matter.
And it won't matter even Bernie. I'm going to think positively. When Bernie gets the nomination, I will vote for Bernie because I'll feel good doing it. Whereas voting for Hillary, I will not feel good doing it. I will feel like I'm betraying
your values, your ethics, your morals.
Yeah. But with Bernie, I can vote for him. But if not, I'll go with Jill Stein or if... I think I've mentioned this, or I heard what's his name might run. I haven't heard yet. I mean, I saw something a couple of weeks ago. I think I might have said this. Jesse Ventura. I like Jesse Ventura. You know, I don't know everything he says or everything, but I tend to agree with him more than I do. Whereas Hillary, it's the complete opposite. Plus, she'll lie about anything in order to. What's that thing she flip-flopped on? She was against it, but found it was popular with Bernie's people, so she's trying to get people, to consider her. And also, the other thing about Hillary is, well, I don't know, I think there's been a lot of voter fraud and stuff going on, but, you know me, Mr. Conspiracy Theory, but, I mean, do you feel that way?
There's been a lot of irregularities in this election cycle. There's no doubt about it. Some of it has to do with open versus closed primaries. people, and some of it has to do with people who have never voted before, not realizing how hard and to what lengths many states will go to keep people from voting. I mean, the Nevada business, personally, I wouldn't have raised hell on earth over that. But I understand why people would, because they got railroaded. And, of course, the in-the-tank pro-Hillary media blew it wildly out of proportion. Oh, goddamn, they were throwing chairs! Only, you know, they weren't. Somebody picked up a chair and, like, shook it. But, you know, all of a sudden it was the Hulk hoisting chairs across the room. Rawr!
Exactly. And you brought up another point. That pisses me off to no end, the way they act, you know, like it was a virtue. I mean, the people got pissed, and rightfully so. And the woman may or may not have gotten scared. But, you know, come on, you're a corporate show. I'm sure they got insurance if anything's going to happen to you. But that's a little joke there. But that looked like a coup d'etat, a non-violent coup d'etat, you know, like this whole goddamn election's looking like. I mean, I don't know. I think if things were like, I mean, it's just like, and I'm jumping all over, but going back to 2000, after the trouble they had with the voting machine, yet we're still using the same fucking machines. What the fuck's up with that? And even when the Democrats got in, they didn't change the fucking machines.
Well, no, because you know the voting machine, the video game voting machine companies greased both. You know, you hedge your bets. You give money to Democrats, you give money to Republicans, and that way everybody has to keep voting on dodgy machines.
I mean, where nation after nation after nation have tried those machines, and after one or two times, if two, they reject them. They get rid of them. Right.
Right.
What's wrong with us, man? What the hell is wrong with us?
Because money.
I know.
There's not a hell of a lot of money in paper ballots. I mean, there's some money in paper ballots, but not near as much as there is in video game voting machines.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the little digital one-arm bandits that are in Vegas and reservations and casinos and stuff, those things are more cyber secure than a video game voting machine is.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I read an article.
I mean, you worked in Vegas. You would know.
Yeah. I read an article a week or two ago where basically the guy was saying that it's not that hard to fix machines. And it doesn't take, you don't have, it's not math. All you got to do is switch one vote out of 10, which, think about it. That's a
10% flip.
Yeah, so that's all you got to do. You know, and that's another thing about the mainstream media, MSM. They don't say jack shit about it, you know? I think that would be a huge story to cover. But, you know, what are you going to do? I mean,
it is what it is. I mean, look, I don't know what turnout for the Louisiana primary was like, Jim, but turnout's the key. You got to get so many people out that they can't steal it.
Well, Bernie.
That's what happened with the two, you know, with the two campaigns of Barack Obama. So many people went out to vote that even though they were trying, they couldn't steal it.
Yeah, well, remember with the freak out, the junior Nazi, what's his name? Rove? Rove. Was that the guy who said on Fox News, no, this can't be gray.
Turd Blossom.
Turd Blossom. No, this can't be right. And what's her name? Had to go did a walk, which was lovely. That's a lovely walk. can't take that away from her. But, you know, and I can't blame her for work. You know, if I had a gig like that, I don't think I'd leave. You know, that, you know, that six, seven-figure, what is seven-figure?
Oh, yeah. She, no, Megyn Kelly ain't working in six digits.
Yeah. Well, what's just, that's just like I saw, what's her name on, MSNBC. She's pulling down $5 or $6 million.
Rachel?
Yeah.
Good work if you can get it.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, when that's your night job, you don't need the day job.
Yeah, well, see, if Mike would have worked his, you know, our buddy Mike Malloy, if he worked his little gig out better.
No. There's always, you know, there's always some selling out involved.
Yeah.
And I think Mike would be the first to tell you.
Yeah. Well, that's why he's basically...
But the reason I mentioned voter turnout is voter turnout was just a little less than 40% in the West Virginia primary. Now, that's with all the hillbillies all excited about going to vote for T-Rump. And the progressive people excited to go and vote for Bernie. 40%. Now, granted, T-Rump told the Republicans they didn't even have to come out in the primary, but some of them come out anyway because they were interested in supporting their good, upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual legislators like Tom Fast here in my county. Idiot. But 40% is, and the, I don't know. I don't know how many, and that's one of those unknowns that scares me to death. I don't know how much excitement T-Rump is going to generate among the mouthwalkers and knuckle breathers. What terrifies me is that Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton doesn't generate any excitement at all.
It's weird, because it's a little bit, I can watch her videos and stuff, but she tries to be spontaneous, and the more she tries to be spontaneous or whatever, the more it comes across
as forced?
And not funny, and not, and even when I try and think of myself voting for her, I'm like, you know, screw it. I can't divorce off thoughts I have about the whole monarchy thing either. You know, I mean, I voted for her in 2000 in the primary in Nevada. And it's just, in 16, I'm either voting Bernie or Green, you know, or, like I said, I'd love to see, you know, Bernie somehow. Hey, or Bernie, I'd like to see Bernie because there's been a lot on the internet about Bernie maybe running third party.
If he runs third party, he ain't going to win, and Hillary will lose. And you know, you're going. I don't know if you saw it, but T-Rump put out a list today, Jim, of people that he would sure enough, no kidding, nominate to. Sit on the Supreme Court. One of them is a sick, twisted, misanthropic jerk by the name of William H. Pryor Jr. Now, this guy is more hostile to LGBT people than any other jurist in the country. Let's see. He in 2003, in a legal brief, he argued that consensual LGBT sex in people in their own damn bedrooms, okay, Jim?
Right.
That they were committing acts that were the same as polygamy, incest, pedophilia, prostitution, and adultery. And went on to say that the states have a perfect right to prosecute people for being gay and put them in jail for it. Now, this is the guy that Trump is promising to put on the Supreme Court.
So the ironic, funny thing is, yeah, put a guy in a prison who's gay, a lot of other gay guys, You know, I mean, that in itself is kind of funny, but I know prison, not that I've been there, I've been in jail a few times, but it's not fun. But good recruitment station for other gay guys, a potential case, I guess.
And you know, this fascist even went so far as to say, Texas is hardly alone in concluding that homosexual sodomy may have severe physical, emotional, psychological, and spiritual consequences which do not necessarily attend heterosexual sodomy and from which Texas's citizens need to be protected. In other words, if you're a heterosexual couple and you want to have some butt sex, William H. Pryor Jr. is okay with that. And he's okay with blowjobs, too. And he's okay with cunnilingus. But only as long as it's a man and a woman doing it to each other, and not a man and a man or a woman and a woman.
Yeah, that's...
This is a guy who's on, who promises, Trump promises, is on his short list of nominees.
Yeah, that's scary. I'm still not voting for Hillary, though, so...
Oh, I understand. Yeah. And again, you're not in a state where voting for Hillary matters. She couldn't carry Louisiana if Louisiana weighed every bit of a chicken feather.
Like the whole South, I don't think there's 12. I think 12 states of the Confederacy. I'll be surprised if she wins too. I think Virginia and Florida, she might have a chance.
North Carolina.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, that's in, close enough, maybe, but. Okay. Yeah, two or three. That's it. I mean, that's what I, another thing about the MSM, it's just such a joke. I mean, I haven't heard anybody in the mainstream media even kind of mention that, oh yeah, okay, well, Hillary's right. She did win the South, but, and I think that would be a talking point if you're looking for news, don't you? I mean, that would be what, yeah, Hillary's right. She won the South. Here's a newsflash. She's not going to win it in the general against whatever Republican they put up, which is good. Right now it's Donald Trump, and that's, I mean, he's pretty much locked in. I mean, I don't see Trump losing more than two or three states in the South, if that. Do you?
Well, I'm not worried. I mean, look, Jim, the South is a foregone conclusion, okay? Let's just deal with that.
Okay.
And, I mean, I'm not yelling at you. The South is a conversation that you have over a Ouija board politically.
Yeah.
What I'm worried about is, say, Ohio. Okay, because see, anybody who thinks that there aren't a ton of T-rumpers in Ohio doesn't know Ohio very well.
Oh yeah,
and as I remarked last night, as Rick Smith told me, Pennsylvania is Philadelphia in the east, Pittsburgh in the west, and Alabama in the middle. T. Rump could carry Pennsylvania; he could carry Ohio. If he carries that and Michigan and Wisconsin, I hold out hope that Wisconsin and Minnesota have better sense. But then again, Wisconsin. Elected Scott Walker when they knew he was a crook. So he could carry Wisconsin. What if he carries Iowa? I mean, let's pick out a few more interesting states. Florida. You think Florida ain't just chock-a-block with rednecks that'll vote for T-Rump?
I know it is.
Texas is a real big state with a lot of electoral college votes, and they ain't going for Hillary.
Definitely not.
Arizona ain't going for Hillary. Idaho's not going for Hillary. Montana, Wyoming, North and South Dakota. Colorado? Really? You want to bet on that?
No.
Sorry, no Utah, no Kansas, no Missouri. No Oklahoma. I'm just running through the map of the U.S. in my mind.
I gotcha.
Maybe, yeah, okay, so let's give her New York, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Jersey? I think Jersey's in play. Hell, New York's in play. T. Rump's a New Yorker. And he stood up and he stood up for New York when that Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz anointed booger eating future king of America said that New York values was bad things. He stood up for New York.
Yeah, a lot of people work in New York and live in Jersey.
California? So. I mean, I think Hillary will take California, Oregon, Washington. Sure. But the thing is, her margin of error is minuscule in all of this. I've got 3 million more votes than anybody else in a primary, ma'am, in a primary.
No, I was thinking the same thing when, there was that idiotic argument I've seen people on the internet make. I don't even get into much Twitter fights that much. I'll just kind of see the argument and move on to something else because it's like, okay, yeah, that's fucking stupid to believe that. I'm wasting my time. How soon can I finish this banter with you? Kind of.
I mean, Nevada? You think Nevada's going to go for Hillary? Yeah, that's a maybe. We can give her a maybe on Nevada.
Yeah, but even in Nevada, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't have that many electoral votes. I mean, they're deep.
I think she'd take Maryland. She'll get D.C. Just because of Northern Virginia, she might get the Old Dominion. But we've run out of states in a real hurry, haven't we?
Yeah.
Okay, she'll get Illinois. She'll get Illinois. She won't get Talibandiana. Kentucky's out. West Virginia's out. And the next thing you know, you've run out of states.
Yeah.
And for me, from a political standpoint, Jim, that's a razor's edge margin math that doesn't inspire me.
I feel you, brother. I mean, I'm the same way. I have a clean conscience of
Well, I mean, I got a question here from Arthur in the chat room, Jim. He says, do you think Trump is serious about being anti-NAFTA? Someone at MSNBC mentioned that it was his most consistent statement over the years. You want to take a run at that?
I don't think anything you can't trust a word that comes out of a mouth. Because she'll change, and especially when, she kind of switched. Was that the thing she kind of switched on? No, because this video of her praising NAFTA like it's going to create jobs. And I knew from the get-go that one, because for a second I was kind of thinking, this is a while back, that, well, maybe. But
well, and the thing is, well, here's my take on it, Jim. It doesn't matter if he's pro or anti-NAFTA. NAFTA is a done deal.
Yeah.
And he would have to get the Congress to repeal it. Well, the Congress, the Republican Congress is what passed NAFTA in the first place. Now, here's the fun part. How about TPP and TTIP? Those things aren't quite yet done deals.
Yeah, that's another scary thing about those. I mean, that's going to make things even worse. What are you going to do? Yeah, you got to go down the street knocking on doors, talking to people about it in your neighborhood, Bob. I doubt most of you even would even know what you're talking about or have a clue how it might affect them directly or
anything. No, mine or a whole bunch of other neighborhoods. You know, that's one of our bubble problems, Jim. We tend to think that because these things matter to us, that they matter to other people, and that is just that's a cognitive failure on our part.
Right. Well, I mean, I even see that even people who make decent money, I could even see where this whole NAFTA, not even NAFTA, but TPP and the other TPIP, whatever they are, could even start hurting people up the food chain. I mean, eventually it's going to have to, because if people are making less and less money, that means just less and less money flowing up. I mean, except for the 1% or maybe the 10%. You know, there's not much room in that. You know, they're not.
No, again, with the razor's edge margins. Right. I mean, okay, here's just an example. This is just one of those weird little examples from my weird little life, Jim. I went down to pick up some medication refills down to the local cut-rate pharmacy today. And earlier in the year, they had this humongous boatload of candles. And in a way, I hate them because they smell good enough to eat. And these were, you know what, like Entenmann's donuts are?
Yeah.
And the Entenmann's pound cake. Well, these were candles that were branded Entenmann's. And I was like, oh, cool, tiny little Entenmann's. I'm going to buy. It's a can. Oh, yeah. That's just mean. Well, they didn't sell so good. So as I went to check out at the pharmacy today, there at the counter for the impulse purchasers were these $1.99 candles. God, I'm stuttering. I can't say candles any more than Sandy Rios can say leftist. Here were these $1.99 candles that were marked down to 24 cents. Now, being a poor but loving husband, and knowing that the magnificent Agnes Viking Warrior Princess loves candles, I bought two of each. Two blueberry pie, two lemon pound cake, two butter loaf, and two strawberry cheesecake.
Good move.
I think so. But as I stood there checking them out, I picked one up and just turned it over. Looked at it. Manufactured under license to Entenmann's Baked Goods, New Jersey, USA, whatever. Product of China. And I just looked at the clerk and I said, product of China. And she just kind of nodded or shook her head. And I said, does that say anything to you? She said, what do you mean? I said, the greatest country in the world can't even support a candle-making industry anymore. We outsourced baked goods flavored candles. That's not NAFTA. That's most favored nation, permanent most favored nation trading status for China, which Bill Clinton couldn't get done fast enough. Candles, Jim. Candles that smell like a strawberry cheesecake.
Yeah, well,
you reckon there's anybody in America that might want to work in a strawberry cheesecake candle making factory? Because I'm guessing there are. I mean, it's probably kind of dangerous, and there's a lot of hot melted wax, but sexual deviant queen Sandy Rios probably knows that there are people who get off on all that hot wax business.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they do it all with robots now or something, but somebody's got to take care of the robots. Now I mention all of that because T-Rump, for instance, had his own line of signature neckwear. Silk neckties, Jim. Hint, those were not made in Poughkeepsie. They were made, of course, in China. By little slave laborers, maybe 11, 12 years old, chained to tables until they'd cranked out, 1,000 ties a day to satisfy the avarice of Donald Trump. And this guy's against trade agreements? Please.
Well, I'll bring that up in the next right-wing gathering. I'm hanging out at slash family shindig or whatever. Although I heard, I don't know how true it is, my sister and her husband, my brother-in-law, I heard they can't stand Hillary, so they might vote for. Right now, they're kind of supporting. They hate Trump, so I guess they're kind of hoping for Bernie. I haven't really talked to him face to face. This is like third person. I heard. Not that it's going to matter much, but you know, I thought, well, maybe there is a little light at the end of the tunnel. But you know,
yeah.
It's going to take a lot more candles to get that straightened out.
Hey, Jim, it's been a great conversation. I appreciate you hollering.
All right.
We'll talk soon. You take care. Bye now. Going to take a lot more candles. That's our buddy Jim down in Louisiana, Stan. Reminder, courtesy of Gary Laborman, there's a $100 challenge on the table, and that has been added to by our buddy Tony. I want to help with subscriptions, Tony says, matching funds. Tony is one of the longest subscribers that we have had here at the Horn. He says, I heard the beginning of Tuesday's podcast today. Sorry to hear of your troubles. I'd like to put out a challenge to my fellow Horn listeners. Up to the end of May, if they become a subscriber or increase the amount of their current subscription, I will match it up to a total donation of $100. So that means if 10 more people subscribe at $10 apiece, Tony's going to match it at $10. Somebody subscribes at 20, Tony will match that at 20, up to a grand total of $100. Tony says, I know times are tight for a lot of folks, myself included. Unfortunately, most of us are not part of the 1% or have a money tree in the backyard to harvest, but working together, giving what we can, look at what Bernie's campaign did with small donors. Great things like the Horn can continue. Ultimately, it comes down to the idea that we're all in this together. Help out if you can. Signed, thanks, Tony. In too damn hot, 96 degrees in mid-May, Chico, California. And not too damn hot here, by the way. I think spring has been canceled for lack of sunlight. It's been pretty much raining here since late April. And I mean, we had some really, really gorgeous weather, spring weather, back in early April, and it's been nothing but a deluge since. So that offer is out there as well. The next 10 subscribers get this month's... The next people who subscribe get their subscription matched up to $100. So that would be 10 at 10, or 5 at 20, or 2 at 50, or 4 at 25, etc. And yes, $100 challenge, have a half a show on me challenge, remains on the table, courtesy of Gary Laborman. Yeah, a little warning coming from Brother Deacon Asa. You're probably going to be emitting the scent of pound cake and lead burning that there candle, Bob. God only knows what's in those Chinese candles. Ain't going to let the dog know or the kitty cat anywhere near it. But I mean, and I know that's a little bit of a nothing story, but it says something, because, you know, God knows I can walk two doors up from the local cut rate pharmacy, and there are American made candles in there, and you know, they're much, much bigger than these Entman's affairs, and they're about 10 times the price. 10 times $1.99, the regular price, not 10 times the 24 cents I paid. Oh, and I bought those things at 24 cents a piece. There were legions of Scottish ancestors who I could hear just saying, "You done good, lad." Yeah, right. I thought of the same thing. Devin just wrote and said, "Melamine and white phosphorus. Yum, yum. It's what's for dinner." So thank you very kindly to Tony for for that kind offer of help. I'll keep track and let Tony know. Okay, so we had William H. Pryor there, who is worried about what the gay do.
There's no fundamental right to engage in homosexual sodomy just because it's behind closed doors. Because homosexual sodomy has not historically been recognized in this country as a right. To the contrary, it has historically been recognized as a wrong. It is not a fundamental right.
That's the guy T-Rump's going to nominate. Damn. He makes Fat Dead Tony look downright liberal. Let's run back over to the stress line and check in with, I presume, Scott in San Diego. Is that you, Scott?
Correctamundo. Correctamundo, Brother Bob.
Very, very good.
I've got a quickie for you, and I sent it to you by email, but it may have gotten lost in shuffle. This will be of particular interest to folks down San Diego way. If they missed Bernie's appearance here back in March, that drew something like 14,000 people to the convention center, he will be back near San Diego on Saturday, I think it's the 21st. And let me look up the exact information so the folks will know. It's in National City, which is just a couple miles south of San Diego. And it's Saturday, May 21st, this time to National City, just south of San Diego. And according to the email I got about it, Bernie is coming to California to hold a Future to Believe In rally. And it will be at Kimball, K-I-M-B-A-L-L Park, at 1243 National City Boulevard in National City. And the venue will open at 4:30, and I believe the rally kicks off at 7 p.m. And they would like it if you would send an RSVP, and you can go, I think, to BernieSanders.com and look around for events, and there should be a way to do that. But being an outdoor rally, see, at the convention center back in March, I got there about 4:15 for an 8 o'clock rally. The line, I wish I had one of those things that they use at automobile accident scenes with a wheel on it to measure the skid distance, to measure that line. But I got there about 4:15 and finally got into the building shortly after 8. And there were something like 10,000 in the main room that they had reserved. And I ended up in the overflow room where there were another 4,000 people. So it sounds like it's an outdoor venue, so there ought to be a big-ass number of folks.
I sure hope there are. And, Scott, there's one more thing to add in here. What is the drop-dead date? May 23rd, is it? For Californians who are registered. Because this just drives me crazy. That there are a significant number of Californians who went to register to vote, and, well, I won't be an independent. Wrong accent, I know. I won't be no Democrat or Republican. I won't be an independent, and signed on with George Wallace's old party.
Yeah, well, and see, the thing is, I got my ballot the other day, because I do by mail ballot, because they kept moving my polling place, and it was a hassle to get there, you know, via the bus. But there was a thing on the news while I was waiting to get on. They've sent close to 1 million ballots out. And like I say, they started arriving, I think, 3 or 4 days ago in the mail. And so far there's been over 3%, just over 3% ballots have been mailed in. which is something like 29,000 voters, and they sent out close to 926,000 ballots were mailed out to voters of all shapes and sizes. So we are, a lot of people have got the burn, and there's May 23rd is the drop-dead date to register. And if you're already registered, it would be wise to register as a Democrat if you intend to vote for Billy, Bernie and or what's your name?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. No, I can't. No. I'm sorry. What's her name? Sorry.
Well, I plan to vote for Bernie simply because I've supported him since right before he announced. And that leads me to a question that maybe you can help me with. The Never Trump contingent of the GOP is still saying that come hell or high water, they're going to run a third-party candidate. And let's say Hillary prevails in the primaries and goes on to be the Democratic nominee. I don't know that Bernie has dismissed the notion of running as an independent simply because he the other night, last night, when he was giving his victory speech for the for the Oregon victory. He was in Carson, California, which is up north somewhere. His phrasing was very interesting. He said that he would do everything that he possibly could to see that Trump was not elected, which is somewhat different from saying he would do everything he could possibly do to see that Hillary is elected. There's a vast quantity.
Yeah, those are not the same thing.
Four people running. Hell, back in 92, it was George Herbert Walker Bush, Bill Clinton, and Ross Perot. Ross got over 19% of the popular vote, and that was like over almost like 25 years ago, and people are way more disenchanted now. How would that work in terms, let's say it is that scenario, it's Trump, it's Hillary, it's conservative GOP candidate, and Bernie, how does that work in terms of the Electoral College? I mean, what is their responsibility as electors given the popular vote? Because Bill won in 92. He got Richard Nixon 1968 numbers when it was Nixon, Humphrey, and Wallace. Wallace pulled in like 12%, 13% of the vote. There was a squeaker between Nixon and Humphrey, popular vote-wise, and Nixon ended up squeaking by past Hubert Humphrey in 68 with like 43% of the popular vote. So, you know, I mean, how does this work with the electors in the Electoral College?
I used to think I understood how the Electoral College worked. I mean, the way it's
supposed. Well, I know how it works under normal circumstances, but let's say all four candidates are running: Hillary, Trump, Bernie, and some GOP true blue conservative or true red conservative.
No, Jill Stein.
You don't need as big a slice of the pie if there's more people to share it in terms.
Well,
of
but what traditionally happens with third party candidacies is that they draw away from one of the two main parties. So, for instance,
I understand that.
Bill Clinton never won a majority of the popular vote in his two presidential runs. He won because there was a third party spoiler in 1992. It was Ross Perot, who drew votes away from Pappy Bush. Then there's 2000, and Ralph Nader going all over the country saying that there wasn't a dime's worth of difference between Al Gore and George W. Bush. We learned to our chagrin that there actually was. That's not to say that Ralph Nader caused that. I mean, Florida was Florida, the election was stolen, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to beat up on Ralph Nader. But it...
Well,
go ahead.
No, maybe this is the better way to phrase my question. All right, earlier you stated the states that it looked good for Hillary in the general and the states that looked good for Trump in the general, given that that's the scenario.
Okay, yeah.
What states could Bernie conceivably win? Or what states could a GOP true red Republican conservative win up against Hillary, Trump, Bernie, and whoever this other...
Well, that's the thing. I think the answer is probably zero. Because if, you know, a Democratic primary is head to head between Democratic candidates. But in the case, you know, look at how many states there are where not just all Republicans combined, but just Trump outpolled the total of Hillary's and Bernie's votes in states where either one of them won. So I don't think a third party candidacy works because A, if there's a third party candidacy, the Hilarians are not going to come over and vote for Bernie. And that gives the opportunity to the Bernie supporters to go and vote for Bernie, but that just siphons votes away from Hillary. I mean, this is a two-party system for a reason, Scott.
Yeah, I get that, but think back to 68. It was Nixon, Humphrey, and Wallace. Wallace actually carried five states.
Right.
And got 46 electoral votes. Now, obviously, that wasn't enough to beat either Humphrey or Nixon in 68. But damn it, that was almost 50 years ago. We are way more pissed off and disenchanted nearly 50 years later.
I'm not disagreeing to be disagreeable, but you really think that, Scott? You think that we're more pissed off in 2016 than we were in 1968?
Well, maybe for different reasons, but yeah, I think Bernie is a signal that's the mindset of people, as is Trump in his own twisted way.
Well, I agree on both counts, but I can't see a situation where a third-party candidacy by Bernie, which he said long ago that he ruled out. You know, that's why he didn't run a third-party candidacy to begin with. But I can't see a situation where the T-Rump vote is significantly diluted by, say, a hard right challenger, so that you wind up with somebody getting a plurality but not a majority. I mean, the bottom line on that is you wind up, I think this is more likely. I mean, under the best of circumstances, that scenario that you've laid out, Scott, I think you wind up with an election that gets thrown into the House of Representatives, and my, what a freak show would that be.
Yeah, well, no, there is that. Because, now, when does that kick in? If the Electoral College can't figure it out? Or...
Right, right. I mean, go and look at the history of, say, 1802. There was no clear winner between Jefferson, Adams, and Burr. It got thrown into the House, and my God, the House was 36 ballots or something.
Well, in today's world, then, what would constitute a clear winner? I mean, is it the popular? Is it a combination?
No, No. Constitutionally, you've got the Electoral College, and if the Electoral College doesn't work out, it gets thrown into the House.
Okay, so no matter who's running, we're all screwed, essentially.
I guess that's one way to look at it, yeah.
Unless Bernie is the Democratic nominee, and then there's a chance, maybe not a great chance, but there's a chance. I think Bernie is stronger than he appears to someone glancing quickly.
Bernie is, I don't have to, Bernie is just plain strong against Trump. Every poll says that.
Well, yeah, and you look at Kentucky last night, based on the, and I still think that Hillary's been called the presumptive winner or apparent winner last night in Kentucky on the basis of 5/10 of a freaking point. Bernie, meanwhile, in Oregon, it was decisive. There was no question about it. And
no, I sat there watching the Guardian coverage and that little animation of Bernie coming and coloring in the counties. Yeah, she carried one county.
Yeah, and when you look at the states left to go for the Democratic primary, there are a couple of states up in the northern tier. There's California. There's New Mexico. Is it New Mexico? Yeah, I think. And I don't have my map right in front of me because I watch this pretty carefully. Bernie is going to be strong, they say, in that northern those two or three states up in the northern tier. He's probably going to do fairly well in New Jersey. I'm thinking. I'm hoping anyway. It ain't over, is what I guess what I'm trying to say. And I think he's going to do a hell of a lot better in California than a lot of people think.
I'm hoping he's strong enough in California to make a credible claim at the convention, because that's all that's left. Now I see, you look at a state like Oregon, where you know, where people might not have even known that they were originally registered to vote as independents. Yeah. Okay, so Oregon's one of those states where the total votes cast for the Democrats comes out to about 570,000 people versus 360,000 for the all totaled for the Republicans. Bernie could probably carry Oregon in your scenario. But there aren't just a whole bunch of Oregons out there. And Kentucky, I had a note from our old buddy Dennis down in Kentucky, with whom I mow grass from time to time in his iPod. And he said videos going around claiming Sanders was cheated out of 5,000 votes in Kentucky. Pike County, I know where that is, had trouble with their counting, and all votes from the county were taken off the board for a time. If you actually look at the video, you'll see that Clinton's total also dropped about 4,000 votes.
Now, was that the county in Kentucky where someone took the vote, stole the voting box, the ballot box?
I'm not sure if that was Pike or not, but I ran across that story. Why? Yeah. And that's the larger question, Scott. Why is it so goddamn hard for us to do something as relatively simple as cast a ballot? It is not that difficult. The rest of the world kind of proves that every time they go to the polls.
Yeah. And they don't have to fly in Jimmy Carter or someone from the UN to oversee. Well, of course, no, we may not be able to say that much longer in terms of election overseers. But it mystifies me. I've been legally able to vote since 72 when it was Wallace and McGovern and Nixon, and I don't. Maybe some of the midterms I don't always make, but I do make 90% of those over time, and I sure as hell have made all of the presidential opportunities to vote. And damn it, I mean, that's the price of admission. I mean, that's the very least that is expected of a citizen in this country, is to exercise their right and their franchise, which to me has always been precious and meaningful. And good God, people, vote as if your future matters and hinges on it, because damn it, it does. It just does in today's world.
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
I wanted to throw that out there and give a plug for the Bernie rally on Saturday the 21st.
Yeah, and I will reiterate, please, for the love of God, if you know anybody who says, yeah, and in California says, yeah, well, I'm not a Democrat or a Republican, I'm a registered independent, look at him and say, yeah, please, what kind of independent are you?
Because there's a big damn difference between the American Independent Party and no party affiliation.
Yeah, and a lot of people are kind of confused on that matter, obviously. But anyway, I would be interested to see if someone smarter than me could look at the history and look at the numbers and look at the states and look at the candidates in this four-person general election scenario and just run it. I'm sure they've got computers that model this stuff.
Well, but I mean, wouldn't it have to be kind of grounded in some sort of potential certainty that Bernie would run as a third-party candidate?
I'm sorry, say that again?
I mean, in order to run the numbers on that, but you know, maybe they've already done that over in the Bernie campaign, and God knows she's got a lot more money laying around. Maybe they've run those numbers in the Hillary campaign, and they've found out maybe that's why the Hilarians are screaming get out at Bernie.
Well, now wait a minute. Now this leads me to another question. The other night, I think Lawrence O'Donnell had Gary Johnson on, who looks likely to be the Libertarian candidate in this November election. Now, the Libertarian Party, whoever the candidate is, they're going to decide it, I think, in the next couple of days. Whoever the Libertarian candidate is for November will appear on the ballots of all 50 states. Now, Bernie has always caucused with Democrats. Prior to this election, this primary election, did Bernie have an official party? And if so, was he affiliated with it? And whatever that party is, if he
he has always served as an independent. No party affiliation.
Okay, so he's not in the same position in terms of the ballot as the Libertarian.
No. There would be a whole nightmare of getting on the ballot in all 50 states. It's expensive, and it is a logistical nightmare. I mean, there are petitions and signatures involved.
He does have a potload of money, and he does have a lot of people who are not going to be happy if Hillary's the nominee, obviously.
Yeah, but the petition drives and everything, and then the signatures have to be verified. It is a surefire nightmare.
Okay, well these are the questions that burn in my soul and stream for my attention, and I know it's not over, but. You know, it's like Willard Scott used to say, in terms of working in radio, you've got to be like a rabbit. You've got to have two holes, one to go into and one to get out of, you know?
Yeah.
So I like to have all my bases covered as much as I can.
I understand that. But
well, anyway, I hope I've added something to the conversation.
Well, you have, and it's
still burning.
It's fascinating to ponder. I got a note here, Scott, from Emilio. Says what pisses me off sometimes is how they criticize Bernie for trying to win at the convention. Doesn't he understand he should quit to unify the party? That it's Hillary's turn. Bernie's trying to win by persuading the superdelegates to swing the nomination in his favor. Yes, it's undemocratic, but that's the process. How dare he use the rules and process to his favor?
Oh, yeah.
If only the pledged delegates counted, Hillary would win, assuming the remaining states followed the trends of the states that have already voted. The Democrats, for whatever reason, decided to go with the undemocratic superdelegate system, and now that Bernie's trying to use it to his advantage, it's an outrage. And you know, editorially, I'll add to Emilio's note that, you know, it was outrageous back when the primaries were all in the Confederacy, that the New York Times and the Washington Post and the usual suspects were, well, you know, Hillary's already got 70 million delegates, and not even mentioning in there that they were counting pledged superdelegates, which don't even exist, because she had 70 million pledged superdelegates in 2008 and somehow wound up not being president.
Well, on one of the websites today had a question, an article, if Bernie is done, how is it that he keeps doing so damn well?
Well, that's because he keeps doing well in states with angry white people.
I mean, it's like the argument about all of Hillary's more primary votes. Good for you. But, you know, I ran those numbers, and 1.5 million of the votes that she claims of the 3 million votes that she leads by on a popular vote basis, which means absolutely nothing, by the way, and why she gets away with making the claim, and nobody says, well, you know, that's great for you, but it doesn't mean anything. 1.5 million of those, it becomes even more meaningless when you take into account, you know, I don't say this because I despise the South. I'm a Southerner, Scott. I love the South.
And I am, too, technically, having grown up
Right. If you're a Southerner, you've got if you're a progressive Southerner, you've got a love-hate relationship with the South. And so, you know, when I say that half of her 3 million vote lead is absolutely meaningless, I don't say that because I despise Southerners. You know, I've mentioned that in a conversation on Facebook, and I got the, well, that's just so nice of you to totally disenfranchise black people in the South. And I couldn't help but respond and say, listen, I didn't mention ethnicity at all. White people voted in the South. Black people voted in the South. Latinos, Asians, Native Americans, young, old, male, female, what have you. Go into the broader palette of Southern progressive voters, but you know I'm not taking anything. I'm just talking about facts because none of those Southern states are going to go to Hillary because it is not a popular vote contest. The Electoral College is a deck full of jokers. And what the Democratic Party did by bringing along the superdelegates are sort of, in a way, kind of an electoral college on the party level.
Well, and the dynamic at play here, the Hillary bots are saying that Bernie is misleading the people, claiming that there is a, albeit kind of dicey chance for him to take the nominations with the primaries left to go. They say he's misleading the people. Well, Hillary is misleading the people, but further on down the line with her fucking 3 million votes.
Well, there's that, but look, I mean, California, you're there. I've had my turn. I want you to have your turn. California is going to have its day in the sun. See what I did there? you know, the conventional wisdom is that all the Hispanic people, all the Latinos, and all the black folks will rally to Hillary's banner because they know she's got their back. You know, even if she doesn't.
Well, she's got to know where to plunge the knife later on down the road. I mean, that's the extent of her back having.
But I mean, is California going to look like Oregon? I mean, realistically, for Bernie to go in and make the argument he needs to make, you know, he needs to win 80-20 in California, 75-25, 70-30, north of 60, and that won't get him where he needs to be in terms of sheer numbers.
And do you know how he? I'll tell you how he proposes to do it. Last I heard, he's not going with big TV and radio buys. He's getting the ground game underway. He's putting his resources there. And if you do it right, there's a way for him to pull it off. Simply, if he's got the right data and he's got the right contacts with the right voters, I'll bet you by golly, well, he can probably do it. And a lot of people said, well, you ought to be buying TV time because of the way California is.
Well, Hillary's going to spend money on TV. And it works. And you know, California is the biggest media market overall in the country. But the thing is, you can go broke doing it. Now, here's the difference, though. There are a lot more people who have $27 than there are people who have millions.
And not only that, in this election cycle, I mean, I can give you the names of 16 other GOP candidates who poured a boatload of money into beating Trump and didn't. Hundreds of millions of dollars, my friend. So, I mean, she's counting on the TV and the supposed goodwill of minorities and women. But it ain't over. June 7th is yet to come. That's all I'm saying.
And I hope you're right. I want you to be right. Because what I was getting at is the people behind Bernie will break themselves supporting his campaign, and I don't care how self-funded T-Rump says he is, he doesn't have that much liquid capital to tap.
No, he doesn't.
And consequently, there's a and that's another reason the Hilarians want Bernie out of the race, is they want Bernie's list.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean anything, because if it comes down to it and I have to vote for her, I will, okay? If only to keep Trump or some other GOP idiot out of the fucking White House. But I'm telling you, I will not do it gladly, okay? I will not do it happily. And I won't say that I won't do it. But she'd better mind her P's and Q's if it turns out that she is a nominee, and not take for granted my vote and the vote of millions of other Bernie supporters. I'm saying that right now.
Well, but she is. She's not. Look, I mean, I've said it on this program, and you know, it's the part of it's what remains of the "I want a pony" in me, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I've said I want to see her stand up at the. And I love playing on Facebook. I can't help it. But I said to some Hilarian, I want to see her stand up at the convention and say, healthcare is a human right. And she said, well, she's already said it. I said, really? Great. Cool. Show me. Because I'd already done my homework. And what she has said, what she said time and again, Scott, is affordable health care is a human right. That's six words, not five.
Yeah. I don't personally think that she is going to cater to the Bernie believers should she become the nominee, because I don't think she has the integrity or the genetic makeup or whatever the hell is required that is necessary
I don't think her training wheels campaign. I don't think her training wheels campaign can withstand any kind of legitimate opposition. I mean, how many points has she hemorrhaged over the course of this Democratic primary? You know, Bernie started off at what, 5%, and now on a national polling basis, he's either even with or ahead of her.
And shows every good potential of beating Trump, where she doesn't in the general.
Well, you know, Marty just wrote in from way north of you and said, Sanders supporters need to make Clinton earn our votes, but for myself, I want more than just words. And that's the knock on my little I want a pony moment, is that, well, you know, she can stand up there and say it, but it doesn't mean she means it.
Yeah,
you know, for a time, our buddy Michael in Madison was trying to make a hashtag trend called Apologize Hillary, based on something that we had talked about. You know, I don't want to ever hear her say that her Iraq vote was a mistake again. A mistake is when you're baking a cake and you set the oven at 425 instead of 375 and you wind up with a brick. That's a mistake. Yeah.
I want an apology. But the thing is, Henry Kissinger's protege can't apologize for something like that. And she can't apologize for Honduras. And she can't apologize for Libya. We came, we saw, he died.
She doesn't have in her makeup that which is required for her to be. To me, it comes down to being more than saying or pretending or position papering. She doesn't strike me as being constitutionally, as a human being, made up of the stuff that's necessary for her to be who we need for her to be.
That ain't no FDR. That ain't no Harry Truman. That ain't no JFK. That's not even an LBJ. And she damn sure doesn't have the morals or ethics of a Jimmy Carter. That's a Clinton.
No, I mean, she's putting a hell of a lot of chips on the number that says next in line. And that was the thing that caused Bernie to run anyway, lo these many moons ago, the supposed inevitability of Hillary gliding down the carpeted path to the coronation. And I think she believes her own press releases.
That's what I was saying last night. She's been reading her own press.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you go over and read Blue Nation Review, where those poor souls have to say that Hillary poops ice cream just to keep a roof over their heads and food in their bellies now that David Brock owns it, Hillary's wonderful. Hillary, and if you read that, my God, I'm pretty fucking awesome, aren't I? And if you dismiss every critique of her as being some sort of right-wingery, that's even more dangerous, Scott, because every critique of her is not right-wingery. Every critique of her is not something cooked up by the Koch brothers or Karl Rove or any of those other sleaze merchants. By God, she really did cast a vote that helped send 5,000-plus of America's young men and women off to goddamn die in the desert. She really did that. And she really did sit there and say, we came, we saw, he died.
Well, and she ignores that at her own electoral peril, is what I'm saying. That's the bottom line.
Well, and she is ignoring it because in her bubble, Scott, in her bubble, that's all unfair because it's her turn.
Well, it remains to be seen. That's all I'm saying. That'll be my end note and my bottom line.
I understand. Got a note here from Mike. He says, I'm phone banking for Bernie tonight in Bellingham, Washington. Go Bernie in Cali. How long has it been since California held the fate of a nation in its hands, Scott?
I don't think it's occurred in my lifetime, and I'll be 62 in less than a month.
Because that's where we are. California holds the fate of the United States in its hands. If California would deliver a landslide to Bernie, we might be able to be saved from Hillary losing to Trump and instead have Bernie beating Trump.
From your mouth to God's ears, come on, baby.
I mean, I wish that argument could be made to Californians. The fate of the nation rests in your hands. If you don't give a landslide to Bernie, Hillary Clinton will probably be the nominee, and Trump will probably be the president. And I know there are a bunch of people, oh, Bob, you're crazy. I want nothing more to be crazy than to be crazy on the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. But not just my gut, but my brain tells me that there are ample opportunities for Hillary Clinton to screw this up. Just like she screwed up Libya, just like she screwed up on Iraq, just like she screwed up early on gay marriage, just like she screwed up with The super predators have to be brought to heel, just like she screwed up. Oh, God, the list is endless, isn't it? Just like she screwed up when she wanted Barack Obama to inject the United States into a hopeless war in Syria. Did I mention just like she screwed up Honduras? And these things have real-world consequences, Scott. People die when she screws up. And if that's vast foreign policy experience, I don't want none of it.
And when you consider the Orange Menace, which is my new name for Trump, when you consider what lies ahead, if that sorry bullshit artist son of a bitch should manage to bamboozle enough people to get elected, God help us. I mean, that's another endless list. What did John Mitchell call the Watergate affair? The list of White House horribles? Well,
yeah.
I've got your revised list of horribles that will affect this country and the world, if there's a world left, for generations to come. We simply cannot allow it to happen. God damn it, people. Wake up.
Exactly, Scott. Exactly. Well, it's been a lovely conversation, and I mean that sincerely. I hope Punky's okay.
Yeah, he's. We have May gray and June gloom, where it's overcast a lot in both of those months.
Yeah,
and he kind of chills out. He gets real quiet when it's overcast. So that's why you haven't heard from him much.
Okay,
lately.
I just wanted to make sure he wasn't having to argue with himself in the mirror.
No, come July when the sun is blazing.
I thought it was always sunny in San Diego.
No. May gray and June bloom. It's overcast. I mean, it was sunny earlier, but it's been overcast the last couple of hours.
Yeah, that's classic Mediterranean-style climate, isn't it?
Oh, and I love it. It reminds me so much of the Midwest and back east in some ways.
Well, my best to Punky, and you have a good evening. And, well, go Bernie. I know you're doing your part.
Go Bernie. Amen. Take care, Bob.
All right. Bye now. I don't know if I'm not quite sure if I'm being agreed with, but Jim writes and says, predictions are correct, election 2016. I don't want to be right. But I've said it for a very long time. Anytime Hillary Clinton campaigns, there's something about the campaign that makes you wait for the other shoe to drop. And I want to be perfectly clear. I'm not talking about waiting for her to be indicted by the Justice Department or waiting for us to find out that she actually ate the burnt flesh of Chris Stevens at Benghazi none of that. Just, you know, waiting for her to get thrashed. What are we going to do when she says something that pisses off more of America than the way she pissed off Appalachian people by saying we're going to put miners out of work, even if she was misconstrued there? Misconstrued doesn't matter. Karl Rove, shit-heel, shit-weasel that he is, was at least pretty shrewd in the dirty business that he did. And he said something that has always resonated with me. If you're explaining, you're losing. And here in Appalachia, Hillary was constantly explaining that she didn't really mean that she wanted to put miners out of work. What happens when it's even worse? Frightening. Thanks, everybody, for joining in for this prayer meeting Wednesday. We had more atrocities to get to, but who knows? Thank you, everybody, who has kicked in to write the ship over the last couple of days.
And remember, there is still a challenge on the table, courtesy of Labor Man. Hopefully that'll happen maybe overnight when the podcast goes out. And, wow, it's past 9 o'clock. I got to get out of here. It's time to go listen to Malloy. Y'all have a good night. Later.